grab the microphone and to bring out that word we're going to be recording and just hearing what God wants to say. It might not be for the city, it might be something else that you feel, but that, I'm just letting you know, that was sort of the theme of where Holy Ghost was going this morning. And I want to encourage you, if you feel something, to do it during the worship. We'll be practicing feeling the shifts during the worship. We've got a whole heap of things we can do tonight, but that's the one thing I'm fairly sure of. All right. Suzanne, can I ask you to come up first and just share for a couple of minutes what happened at the last prophet and what's been going on for you? Because I'm sure this will encourage you, and then we'll go on to worship.
So last time I came to prophet, I was a reluctant attendee. I was absolutely shattered. I was so tired. And Paul said, let's go. And I went, oh, really? Yeah, let's go. So we came. And over the course of the night, I was absolutely ambushed by one thing after another. So the first word that was brought that really went, oh, that's you, and she's not here tonight, was Margaret Francis brought a word. And she brought a word and she said she really struggled to bring it because we don't do mates, dates or babies. And she said, I have a picture of somebody pushing a baby in a pram. And she said, I see really clearly this baby being pushed in a pram. It's not your baby. At which point I went, oh, that's me. So for those who don't know, I work as a staff nurse in the neonatal unit. So I work with prem babies and I work with sick babies. And one of the things we do sometimes when we get really desperate is if a baby's really unsettled is we pop it in a pram and take it for a walk. So when she said, it's not your baby in the pram, instantly God gave me a picture of me pushing a particular baby around the unit that very week. Nobody in the room knew that. Even Paul didn't know that about that. That was sometimes what we did. So that was number one. Number two was a lady who had been saved for a whole week, who had a word of knowledge about somebody with a headache. Yeah, that was me. That was me. So she came and she said, you've got a headache. I said, yes, I have. So she prayed for the headache. The headache went. That was cool. The third one was Vicky, who I don't think I've ever had a full conversation with. And Vicky came over and said, you're Sue, and and you're in the middle of a storm. And I laughed, yeah. In the middle of a storm, and you're not sleeping very well. And again, not many people in the room would know that, but I said, yeah, that is right. We are in a massive storm, and I am not sleeping terribly well. So she prayed based on Psalms, the righteous lay down their head and they sleep. And I want to tell you, I have never slept better than I have the last month.
Oh, come on. That is awesome.
Oh, it keeps going. It got so embarrassing. I stopped responding to things because it's like, oh, my word. So the next person was Nancy. I don't know if she's here. And Nancy came and introduced herself and sat beside me. And we were so busy chatting that we didn't hear the instructions of what we were supposed to be doing. However, she looked at me and she... She read my mail beautifully, and she talked about somebody who is in my family, being very careful what I say now, and who has been of great concern to my heart. And she described this person who she had never met. She described what they look like. She described their age group. She described their personality like I have never heard anybody describe them. She described the things that this person is struggling with and then went on to describe what I was struggling with. And then she gave some insights and told me things that only God could reveal. And my heart leapt, and suddenly where my mother's heart had been overwhelmed with concern, there was suddenly hope. And an awareness that God works even when you don't see that God is working. So that was Nancy. Man, she's good. If Nancy comes, grab Nancy, because she was so down the line. And then Colleen had a word. I don't know if Colleen's here. Colleen had a word about somebody, and I didn't respond to this because I was getting really embarrassed now, about who had danced and had had dance lessons for a very short time, but that it had left a gap in your heart. So I didn't go up, but afterwards I told her the story that when I was in primary school, I had 6 weeks of ballet lessons that came to an abrupt ending when my mother had an argument with the ballet teacher, and I didn't go anymore. But one of the things that I would do as a child was I would put worship music on and I would dance in the house. And nobody else knew that. That was me and God. And it was a real powerful worship outlet for me. Some of you who know our story know that some significant things happened 4 years ago. And I was at home one day and I did my usual of put some worship music on. And I'm, you know, just moving around the house, putting things away, but with music on in the background. And out of the blue, God said to me, "You don't dance anymore." I went, "No, I'm grown up now." And God said, "I liked it when you danced." And I just laughed because I thought that was just... I said, "All right." He said, "You could dance again." I said, "I don't think so." So over the last 4 years, there's been this pattern where the music goes on and God says, "Dance." And I go, "No, I can't dance anymore." So Colleen shared the word, and I would like to say, I have been dancing again. Towards the end of the night, Lynn brought a word. And again, I didn't respond because, man, how many times can you respond in one night? There should be a quota, Wes. And so Lynn talked about you've come tonight and you feel overlooked and forgotten. And if you had asked me when I walked in how I was feeling, I would have said, I feel really tired and really shattered. And I've given out so much and I have nothing left in the cupboard. And I just feel really forgotten. And God ambushed me right from the first moments that I came in and right to the end of the evening. And so when I went home, I didn't feel overlooked and forgotten anymore. And I had quite a good few days mulling over things and working them through. I'm really big on the power of the word of knowledge. And I think as Christians, sometimes we forget what a powerful tool it is. So I said I worked in the neonatal unit. So I want to give you an example of when you take God to work with you and you do your job, but you take God with you. So this particular day I was looking after a little baby, still in an incubator. And I hadn't looked after her before, but I was handling her and changing her nappy and taking her temperature and everything. And I thought, it's not right. There's something not right with this baby. And I carried on and I kind of, I don't know what's going on here. So I did what I would do in that circumstance and I said, "Oh God, please help. What's wrong with this baby?" And he didn't say anything. So the ward round came in. At this point, there's about 8 people who arrive. And baby by baby, we discuss what's going on with them and make a plan. So the nurse of the day, looking after the baby, introduces the baby, explains what's going on. So I did the usual thing. And then at the end I said, "I have to say I'm a little bit worried about this baby." I said, "Because I'm not sure that she's quite right." And the consultant said, "What do you see?" So I started to tell her what I had noticed. About 2 minutes in, God said, "Now say these things." So then I carried on and I repeated what God told me. And then I came to an abrupt ending and she looked at me and she said, "Right." She said, "The baby's got an infection." And the registrar said, "So we'll take bloods off and see what they're like. And then if, depending on what they are, we'll start antibiotics." And she looked at him and she looked at me and she said, "No, based on what she said, we start the antibiotics now." take the bloods, but start the antibiotics straight away. And I'm stood there going, oh, I hope you're right. So the bloods were taken off, and I gave the first dose of antibiotics. An hour later, she walked through the unit, and she said, you? And I said, yes. And she said, you called it before we could see it. And the bloods had shown that the baby had a really good infection on board, and we had got in and delivered the antibiotics before the baby became sick.
Wow. Well done. Keep up the good work. Isn't that fantastic?
Come on.
We can do this. He's on our side. He's longing to move through us, speak through us, and make a difference in our city. Let's press into worship now. And again, if you've just come in, I just want to encourage you, if you get, just press in for a prophecy, for a word, and come and tap me on the arm. I'll give you the microphone, and we'll flow in the Holy Ghost. Thank you,
thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fly this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I am.
Been singing, I've seen us actually before his throne in the temple. But what I've been hearing is where the Trinity is saying, who will go for us? Who will we send? And I've just been singing inwardly and then quietly, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. If that's you, you sing along. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Called by your name, we declare there is none worthy. We will build up, we will build up and make a way for you. So we sing with the angels. Holy are you, God. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Thank you.
thought just as we were worshiping was the angel over here, and the angel had massive feathers, and it was ruffling its feathers, and as there's feathers falling out of its wings and falling down on people, and as those feathers fell on people, they're beautiful, white, pure feathers, as they're falling on people, there's exponential growth in them, like crazy fast growth. And then I saw this massive wall, and it was either fear or pain or things that have caused you to stop in your growth. And those roots from that exponential growth, like trees, like ivy, were climbing up those walls and ripping the bricks of the wall, and the walls were crumbling down. So I really feel that the Holy Spirit is here to pull down those walls and cause exponential spiritual and emotional growth in you, where those walls in your life that have caused you to stop, that have caused you to not step out in faith, that those are being ripped down in faith. So I'll just...
If you especially relate to that, can you come and stand in the front, maybe on the red carpet? Raise your hands to the Lord, and just in your mind's eye, just see those feathers coming and landing on you. Thank you, Lord. And we speak breakthrough, and we speak breakdown of every wall. Now, in Jesus' name, now, in Jesus' name, we command the breaking down of every wall that's all, that stands even in defiance of the power of God. In Jesus' name, now, come down, 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 come down.
In Isaiah 57:14, it's a promise of revival and healing. And Yahweh says, let the people return to me. Build up the road, clear the way and get it ready. Remove every obstacle from your path. For this is what the High and Majestic One says, the one who fills the eternal realm with glory, whose name is holy. I dwell in high and holy places, but also with the bruised and lowly in spirit, those who are humble and quick to repent. I dwell with them to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of those who are broken over their sin. Hallelujah, Father, I thank you. God, that you were saying to build. Father God, build up the road and clear the way and get ready at this time. Father, that is what we are doing. That is why we are here. Father God, we are getting ready. Father, we are getting ready now. And Father, we are removing, Father God, every obstacle. Father God, every wall that would stand in the way. Father God, we pull down, tear down. Father God, every wall. Father God, that is blocked. Father God, that has been a hindrance. That has been a setback. Father God, and we tear it down. We smash it now in the Spirit of Jesus' name to make the way clear for the King of Glory to come in. And Father, we hold nothing back. Father, for this is the day, this is the hour, Almighty God, that you are moving, Father God, in the midst of us. Father God, and we thank you and we decree, Father God, revival and healing, Father God, in our land, in our hearts, in our churches, in our families, Father God, in our city, Father God, in ministries, Father God, in every life, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
Prepare ye the way, 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 for the Lord prepare ye the way. Prepare ye the way, prepare ye the way, prepare ye the way of the Lord, prepare ye the way, prepare ye the way, prepare ye the way, the way for the Lord.
We've just been singing Prepare Ye the Way. And as we were worshiping, I saw like the operations room in heaven. And it looked like a World War II operations room where they had the battle plan all laid out on the table and things were being shifted into position and things were being put in place and the battle seemed to be going okay. But then I saw the Lord take a big roll of blueprints and begin to unroll them and say, it's time to change tack. And for some of you, you've been going on the plans that you've had up till now, and it's been good and it's been right, but God says it's about time. It's time to change tack. It's time for new battle honors. It's time for new assignments to be given out. You prepared the way. It's time to begin to walk in it. And for some of you that were up the front here that have felt those walls, God says it's time. Don't look at the walls. Look at me. Jesus went with his mother Mary to the wedding at Cana. And during that time, something amazing happened. We all know the story. They ran out of wine. And Mary says, Jesus, do something about this. And he goes, lady, it's not my time. He doesn't say, mum, it's not my time. He addresses a woman, it's not my time. In other words, don't tell me what to do. But yet her request shifted and changed something. And he did it. It's time. Your request is about to shift and change something. And Jesus is about to come through in your life and operate in your life in a way that you've not seen before. Miracles of provision are about to be released to you. Miracles of wine are about to be released to you. It's not about, are you ready? Do you see yourself as ready? Jesus at that moment, we don't know, but it would appear Jesus didn't see himself as ready. But something shifted in an instant. And he went, actually, before it wasn't time, now it is. Now it's your time. Now it's your time. God's saying, now it's your time. There's new assignments for you tonight. There's new blueprints. There's new battle plans. for your place in this city. There's new assignments for you to step into in this city. There's new assignments for you to step into in your workplace. There's new assignments. Something shifted from being not time to being time. And it shifted in an instant. And I felt the Lord say, if you want those new assignments, if you've been feeling that you haven't yet found your assignment, or that your assignment, previous assignment, is finished but you haven't got the new one, tonight you can get that new assignment. Tonight you can get revelation of what He has for you in this city. It pertains to this city. It's not pertaining to ministry out in the world. It's pertaining to this city. There's something in this city that God wants to release to you and wants to release you into in this city. I'm sorry, I'm preaching a little bit mixed in with this. I've got something, thanks. Joseph said this morning, God brought him back from overseas and said, it's time. It's time because you were born for this place. It's time because you were born for this city. It's time because you were born for this nation. This is the nation of your inheritance. This is the city of your inheritance. It's time. So if that's you, that picture that I've shared with you just now will have built in your mind a picture of that operations room. It will have built in your mind a picture of that table with the plans being unrolled. You can enter that picture right now because it's a heavenly reality that is open for you to enter into. See yourself there because that's your reality in Christ. If this word is resonating with you, that's the reality God has for you right now. And you can walk into that operations room and you can get your new assignment. You can get what you need to bust through that wall. Because sometimes the Lord will tear the wall down, but sometimes you've got to bust through the wall as well. Sometimes we've got to cooperate and we've got to go, that wall, that's not my inheritance. That bondage, that's not my inheritance. Those things that have held me back, that's not my inheritance. That's not who I am in Christ. There's something here for you tonight. See yourself. Go there now. There's a moment here to go there, to see it in the spirit. Enter it in your mind's eye, because your imagination, your mind's eye, what you see in your mind's eye is a spiritual gateway often into heavenly realities. And you can access them by coming into agreement with what God's showing you, and you can actually walk into that picture and it become an experience, not just something you're seeing from the outside.
I keep seeing a lion roaring. There's a lion roaring, and there's a lion within you who wants to roar. There is a certain sound that you're to make. There's a certain sound that's to come out of the city, and you're part of it. The lion is within you, and he needs to roar. I don't want to make this into something comical, but I saw that some of us had been bleating like goats. And at times some of us trumpet like elephants. But there's a certain sound, there's a certain sound, there's a certain sound that's got to come out, that needs to come out from the city, that needs to come out from you. There's a sound of a lion within you that needs to roar. It's a strong sound, it's a sure sound, and it doesn't sound like anything else. It's your sound, it's His sound, and it resounds with heaven. Let it come, let it come, let it come.
And every spirit of timidity and every spirit of shutdown and every demonic thing that would try to gag you and keep you quiet, it's got to be trampled under your feet tonight. Rabababa. For it's time for you to stand and it's time for you to take your place and it's time for you to have a sound. Shout it loud and clear. Don't hold back. Let your voice be like a trumpet blast. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's saying, don't hold back. He's saying, what are you waiting for? He's saying, now is the time. He's saying, let your voice be like a trumpet blast. Let your voice be heard in this season. It's not time to be passive. It's not time to be quiet. It's time to let out a trumpet blast with your voice. And this time, Isaiah 58:1, let out a sound like a trumpet.
You know, I just so witnessed to the roar of the lion, and it's not regarding, it's not according to your personality. It's something that the Holy Spirit has birthed in you. And I think sometimes we've been like bleating sheep, or as you say, bleating goats. But I think God wants to know us not only as the Lamb of God, but as the Lion of Judah that breaks every fetter, that sets every captive free. And it has to come out, I believe, out of an indignation in your heart and your spirit. Are we stirred about what's happening in our city? Are we stirred about what's happening in our nation? Are we stirred about what we hear? And then as we are stirred, then God will put something so definite and so precise that will absolutely cause the heavens to open and the devil to tremble because of what God will cause to be put in our heart and our spirit. We are not to be those timid little sheep. They have a beautiful personality, but God is changing the personality of the church, that no longer is it accommodating, but is advancing in all that God has chosen for it to do and become in this day. And I don't believe it's going to be in a long time. I so witness now is the time. We're not waiting for a future event. And now is the time. God has spoken. We've already entered into the promise. We've already entered into that spirit of revival. And it's not only for revival, but it's for the transformation of our city, the transformation of our nation, that it shall fulfill the destiny that God has created it for. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And when he talks about destiny, we're part of it, every one of us. It's not something that's just way out there. No, it's you, it's me. And I think we have to acknowledge, Lord, I am part of God's destiny for this city and this nation. And acknowledging that, allow him to put such a new sense of the assignment of God. There is an assignment, and it's like what we've never had before. And it's like God brings a closure to what we have known. And sometimes we think, God, what are you doing? No, that's part of the preparation of coming before him, of crying out to him, oh, God, prepare us for these very significant days that are ahead. And new convictions of sin, new convictions of anything that would stop his presence and its beautiful holiness being manifested through our lives. These are incredible days to walk softly, to walk tenderly, and yet powerfully before him. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And sometimes God will speak to us in the quiet, but sometimes he speaks to us in that roar, in that roar, in that roar, in that roar, in Jesus' name. As Anne was speaking, I also felt that this is a time where what Lynn saw of the deployment, the deploying of people in positions. Joshua chapter 1 came to me, and verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Every place that the sole of your feet, your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As you walk through the city, as you walk through your workplace, He has given it. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I felt, as Anne was speaking, that there were some that were hesitant. It's that timidness. You know, there's sheep that kind of hold back, even when the others are kind of leaping through the open gate, and they hold back. And if that's you, ask the Lord for the courage, because He said He's giving it. Ask Him to give you the courage to step into the position that you have in this city.
I think for many of us, the Lord has almost like laid down a challenge for us tonight. As I was seeing those blueprints going across the original plans that had been on the table, it felt like a change and a shift of identity. As I was listening to what Anne was saying, as I felt what I was feeling, and many of the prophets are bringing out a similar thing, it boils down to, are we prepared to let go of who we thought we were and take a hold of who He says we are? I think that's what He's saying tonight. And that takes a step of obedience, even if we're trembling in our boots, because it's letting go of something that we're so familiar with to take a hold of something that we're not familiar with. I know we're familiar with Him, but are we really familiar with Him within us? That dynamic of power, that dynamic of glory that He wants to shine through us, that, are we familiar with that? I don't think we really are. I think that's a little bit scary, or even a big bit scary for a number of us. But are we prepared to let go of the familiar cloak of timidity and let the lion roar from within us? I believe it's like a challenge has been laid down before us this morning, this evening. Been a long day, going to be a really long day. Anyway, there's a challenge that God is laying down before us and saying, will you pick this up? Oh, and I say yes, and I don't even know what I'm saying yes to. Let's just stand to our feet one last time. And if you can, if God's laying it down, and I really believe He is laying down a challenge before us tonight, how about you pick it up? Some of you, I feel like you've almost got to bend down and pick up something and say, yes, Lord, I'll take hold of this. I feel like He's laying down things before you. He's given you the choice. He's not a God that forces us to do something, but He gives us the opportunity. And He's laying down, it's like He's laying down fresh mantles. He's laying down fresh commands. He's laying down fresh identities even. And He's saying, do you want it? And some of you just got to snatch it. Because even in the snatching it, you're defying the spirit of timidity that's tried to wrap around you as an identity. And there's things He's going to allow you to be challenged with even this week. To step out in who you really are, or rather, who He is in you. Robo Papa. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, right now, we take a hold of what you're offering. We take a hold of it, Lord, and we discard that which is wrapped around us and tried to hide our true identity. Whoa, it's tried to smother our true identity. And we shrug that off. And we take a hold of who you say we are. And when you allow that voice to resonate within us, Lord, that a sure sound would come from us, a sure sound would come from this place, a sure sound would come from Christchurch. Oh, preparing the way for you, Lord. Oh, for your glory. And every gate that has held us captive in Jesus' name, we command to open now. Even over the destiny, over the city. Everything that's been shut down concerning the destiny of the city, in Jesus' name, we pull it down. And we release the sound. We speak to our city, even in the spirit right now. We say, Christchurch, have your voice. Christchurch, take your true identity. Christchurch, take your place in the spirit. Oh, Holy Ghost. Amen. Anyone got anything else they want to add right now? Oh. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Okay. I really want us to have some time, though. We have been having activations. Is this that one? Is it yours? No, yours, no. Nice Bible here going free. Did you catch the flow there? See how we were flowing? And bless you, sister. I know you've got a word of knowledge for someone later on, and we will go into time of words of knowledge in a little bit, but I really wanted just to capture where God was wanting to go in the prophetic and in the spirit there and then. So take a hold. I guess that was recorded. Hopefully that was recorded. Yep, cool. Thank you, Grant. I said that we were going to go into words of knowledge part two, and I do want to be true to my word, and so we're going to talk a little bit about words of knowledge. We're also going to talk about different ways that we hear God. And so I've asked a few people, and I may pull on a few more, to share about how they hear God's voice, how they get impressions from God. And I think it's really good. God speaks to us in so many ways, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's just have a quick look at words of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And just in case you're confused right now, that doesn't mean you can only have one. Good. We're all good with that. We talked about how Dan McCollum shares about word of knowledge is like the twin sister of the prophetic gift, and they work together. And how we can distinguish between the two, as in prophecy deals with potential truths, and in the present to future realm, whereas word of knowledge deals with facts, as in past to present realm. So it's you being it flowing in the Holy Ghost and being able to describe to somebody where they're at, what's been going on in their lives, and describe that in some kind of detail. So prophecy concerns the future, words of knowledge concerns the present. Then we looked on, I'm just doing a bit of a catch-up here, we looked at what does the word of knowledge do. It stimulates faith, and it's also a breaker gift. And we looked at, if you weren't here, the scripture. Scripture is John 1, 47 to 51, and that's Nathanael. If you may know the story, but Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And he was pretty cynical about anything
anybody good or anything good coming out of Nazareth, but with a word of knowledge. You know, Jesus said, behold an Israelite indeed in whom there's no deceit. And then Jesus said to him, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And then Nathanael turns and he goes, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you're the King of Israel. I mean, a complete turnaround because of a word of knowledge there. And so you saw his faith released, but also we saw that break a gift coming. So that skepticism that was around him just broke off. And that's one of the things I find so exciting about operating in words of knowledge, is that you get that shocked, stunned look on someone's face when you're able to describe something that only God knew. That there's no way that you knew. And it just releases them from skepticism or unbelief. And they can begin to take a hold of the prophetic thing of what God, the good things that God has got for them. So how does God communicate with us, hearing his voice? I'm just going to quickly run through some different ways. You'll know some of these maybe things you haven't thought about. Visions and dreams, we see that Acts 2, 17 to 18. And in there we also see visions of the mind, so in your mind's eye. Ephesians 1, 17 to 18, I love in the Passion Translation, it says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. I don't know about you, but when I was a little girl, my mother used to say to me, you've got such a vivid imagination. And so I began to think that my imagination was actually a bad thing. Or it's okay to write a story, but I never actually was able to relate it to flowing in the Holy Ghost. We began to see, according to the word, that he created our imagination. And if we keep our imagination clean, so when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about just mind what's coming into your eye gate and into your ear gate. See it like a whiteboard that the Holy Spirit can draw a picture on. But if it's all covered with stuff and you haven't wiped off the other stuff, then it's a little bit hard to see the picture or read the writing. Okay, so we want to keep our imagination clean and clear so that the Lord can actually use that powerful part of our brain to speak to us and give us pictures. Then there's open-eyed visions. There's dreams. God speaks to us in dreams. We've got Nebuchadnezzar having a dream and Daniel 2, 31 to 35. That one involved a lot of symbolism and it needed interpretation. But then Genesis 20 verse 3, you've got God coming to Abimelech in a dream and saying about how he was with someone who was actually somebody else's wife. And God actually came to him. He didn't need interpretation. God came in the dream and spoke to him. So you've got two different types of dreams there. He comes in a still, small voice. And in studies, and people have questioned and asked some of the senior, most mature prophets functioning in the world today, and they'll say that 99% of the time, it's that still, small voice, the way God speaks to them. They don't see it in neon lights. That may shock some of you. But it's that fleeting thought that pops into your head and could be gone in a split second if you don't grab it on the way through. That's the most common way that God speaks to us. Okay, angels to Philip, Acts 8:26. Get up and go to the south road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. So angels actually speak to people. And we saw it speaking to Peter in prison. That angel came, whacked him on the side and told him to get up quickly. So that's Acts 12, 6-7. Another way God speaks to people is through trances where they can't actually see reality. And they find themselves in another realm, another place altogether. And that, I really think, is probably what happened to me in 1996. Those of you that know about that vision that happened to me, where my eyes were open and I couldn't actually see where. I couldn't get out of it. I was in a totally different realm. Creation speaks. Romans 1:20, for ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through his workmanship. All his creation, the wonderful things that he has made, so that they who fail to believe and trust in him are without excuse and without defense. I know some people, and they've said to me, I can't feel the presence of God in church as strongly as I do on a mountain or by the river or by the sea. And so God speaks to us through nature, through his creation. Well, you know, he speaks to us through scriptures, all scriptures inspired by God. That's 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17. And we don't see a lot of this at the moment, but It's there nonetheless. He speaks to us through tongues and interpretation of tongues. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. We talked last month about impressions that we get in our bodies when we're working, when we're flowing words of knowledge, feeling like a sympathetic pain. It's not our pain, but we're actually sensing it for somebody else in the meeting or somebody else that's around us. And that's a God actually speaking to us and quickening to us that there's something there. Somebody's got something going on with that part of their body. Prophetic acts. We saw Agabus tying a belt round himself as a way of showing Paul how he would suffer. There's a fun activation that we may do one day, not tonight, where you're not allowed to actually speak anything out with your mouth, but you have to actually act out the prophetic word. So we might do that one night, see how we get on with that. Signs and wonders, putting out a fleece, Gideon in Judges 6, 33 to 40. God speaks to us through circumstances.